So, if you just turn with me in your Bibles, please, and put your finger in Psalm 121. This morning in our prayer meeting, Dom said he wants to read out of Psalm 112. I was like, oh no, okay, 21, not 12. So, I got really excited there. But Bridget quoted out of a scripture that Stevie read this morning, and she wasn't here. So, we know God's at work. And so, this morning, we want to continue with part three of Our God. Last week we looked at the goodness, the week before, first week we looked at the goodness of God. Then we looked at Our God is faithful. And this morning I want us to look at Our God, Our Guardian. Our God, Our Guardian. And so we have a look and see that when we looked at the goodness of God, we saw that God was originally, infinitely, perfectly, and immutably good. And I think all the songs, as Michael said, beautifully selected this morning, all represent the goodness of God and how God is good. And He's a good, good Father. Okay, you can get a little Pentecostal on me. You can go, Amen. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to go, Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Or wow! Or Aina! Well, Anaki, you don't know what that means. ouch! Einaz means ouch in Afrikaans. I forget myself. Faithfulness of God. God is faithful. We looked at by nature, by name, by character. He's faithful to reveal Himself, and He's faithful to keep all of His promises and reveal Himself to us in all of His promises. And so today we want to look at Our God, Our Guardian. And it says in Deuteronomy 32:10, He found him in a desert, and in the howling waste of wilderness, he encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. And some translations say the apple of his eye. And I really wanted to go in and why they use pupil and not apple, but that's probably for another day. But just the round little part, the apple, I don't know. Anyway, inner parts. 1 Peter 2:25. For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. And so God is our guardian. And I love that we ended off this morning with God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we see He encircles us and He cares for us and He nurtures us and He guards us. And I know Bridget came this morning with this word and she didn't know what I was preaching about. That God is the God of the breakthrough, not the breakdown. And sometimes we feel breakdown. We feel like even those little dumbbells on our shoulders, we feel like they're weighing us down. And this morning, even as I preach, you know, and you get another high view of God, because that's the point of the series, that you will go, yeah, God is a good God. God is a faithful God. God is a guardian. He's looking after me. He's looking after my welfare. He's looking after my interests. He cares about me. I know some of you feel He cares for Mark and He cares for Michael and He cares for Janine and He cares for Bridget and anybody else. He just doesn't know me and He doesn't see me. He cares for every one of us individually and He cares for the Bridge Church collectively. When it says a guardian, it is someone who guards and protects. In the movie The Guardian, I can't remember how many years ago, Kevin Costner, he's like the main lifeguard chappy dude, and he says this saying, with lives on the line, sacrifice everything. God, our guardian, when lives are on the line, sacrifice everything. And that's exactly what he did. He sacrificed everything. He sent His blessed Son to come and die for us on the cross. And the plan of redemption, He had that all in mind all along. When lives were on the line, hanging precariously between heaven and earth, He sent His Son to sacrifice everything and to die for us on a cross, on a wicked, cruel cross, and resurrected again and lives with His Father in eternity. In Job 34, thank you, Michael. Job 34:21 says, for His eyes are on the ways of a man, and He sees all his steps. There are no secrets. Well, I just know this. No, God knows everything. He sees every step of man, every way of man. He knows everything. He knows when you're good and He knows when you're bad. But He loves you just the same. That's a good, good Father. God is our guardian. Something that He is the guardian, He is the guardian of His Word. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. Jeremiah 1:12. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over My word to perform it." Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of His law. He is guarding over His word. He is guarding and entrusted us, as I said to the men yesterday, He entrusts to faithful men, Paul's commission to 2 Timothy. He is entrusting to faithful men / women. Don't just say, well, that's for the guys. Well, No. Actually, most times in Scripture, when it talks about man, actually, if you go and do the exegesis, it means man and woman together. So, there you go. Just thought I'd throw that in. He is guarding His word. What else is He guarding? He is guarding the world. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We all belong to God. Some people have just never accepted that. They've just never gone from kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But God is guarding His word, His wonders to perform, that people would become into redemption and salvation and baptism in water and baptism in Holy Spirit. Psalm 50:10. For every animal of the forest is Mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And some of us would become a lot more wealthy if we stopped barbecuing a few. You can talk to me afterwards. Psalm 93:1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. This is the guy who's guarding us. This is the guy who's never ever lost a battle. That's the man I want on my side. That's the God I want on my side. In never ever, 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 ever been defeated. That's our God. Jesus, the captain of the host. Jesus is His name, tattooed on His thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords, riding a white horse, coming forth. Yeah, man, we get a little bit like, yeah, let's go. Man, I want to follow that. He is robed in majesty, He is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. That should bring some comfort to us. With all the shaking we're seeing going around in our society, and all the things that are starting to topple, and all the things, and all the demonic stuff that's taking place. But He's got it in the palm of His hand. Never lost a battle. Never been defeated. Never been outsmarted. Always has an answer. That's our God. Our guardian. Thank you. So, let's turn to Psalm, or you should have Psalm 121 open. I'm going to read it through and then we're just going to dig deep and just do a little bit of exegesis on it. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, or your guardian, or He watches over you, depending what translation you're reading. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Get that one into your spirit. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful picture. So, let's just break it down a little bit. Now we understand this is what we call a song of ascents. A-S-C-E-N-T, not sense. Ascent. Psalm of ascent. And it's a picture of a pilgrim, as are some of these, on a journey to Jerusalem, probably in reference to the journey these pilgrims had to make three times a year to the different festivals that they were holding. And it's a psalm of protection, it's a psalm of guidance, it's a psalm of blessing. The same as when we go on a journey. What is one of the first things you do when we get in the car and after we've said, buckle up? Lord, would you protect us while we drive? Lord, protect and keep all the silly people away from us, as Bridget says. And Lord, just give us a safe journey and a safe trip. And yeah, that's just what this guy's writing about. That's what he's saying. He's asking God to watch over and keep us. And that word in the Hebrew is the word called shamar. S-H-A-M-M-A-R. Shamar. He wants to shamar us. And what is that? What does that actually mean, though? It means He encircles us. Now remember, God the Father, He encircles us with a hedge of thorns to protect us. John 10. What is Jesus, the shepherd? If you understand, they go in and at night, they put them in an encircled enclosure. They put all the sheep inside there. Not just my sheep, but Michael's sheep and Alan's sheep and Ken's sheep and Jess's sheep. They all go into the same folder. And then they sit in the doorway as the shepherds and they protect the sheep so they can't. And then in the mornings they go and they call the sheep. Does it sound familiar? And He calls His sheep because they know their shepherd's voice. And then the sheep who belong to Alan get up and go out and follow Alan. And He doesn't drive them from behind, because that's what the devil does. He drives you. He leads them to quiet, still waters where the grass is green. And then He sits down and pulls out His little flute and doot, 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 doot. And the sheep go about and they graze and they feed themselves. And we as good sheep need to learn to feed ourselves. Our shepherd has taken us to green pastures. He's given us fresh, clean water. And we just want to eat and... No, we've got to get there. There wasn't a burp, there was a bear. And we've got to stand there and we've got to feed ourselves sometimes. Anyway, I'm going off track completely. He wants to shamar us. We are pilgrims on a journey. He watches over and guards us because God is our guardian. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Some say come from. As this pilgrim walked along, as we pilgrims walk along, he looks to the ascended safety of the hills, to the hills of Jerusalem where he's headed, because if you know, Jerusalem is built on seven hills, on seven mountains. Just saying, a little bit of geography. And where the festivals would take place, and that would be his place of safety from the highway robbers. As they go along, the highway robbers would be waiting in the crooks and the crannies to rob them. And they would go along, and this pilgrim would be going, I lift up my eyes to the hills. What is he doing? He's getting a high view of God. He's saying, my help comes from the ascended hills. God, okay, don't want to run ahead of myself. And we as pilgrims, sometimes though, we are so busy walking along that we are so preoccupied and distracted by the rocks and the crags and the little thorn bush and that we actually forget to look up. We're going to learn to look up. Where's my God? Oh yes, He's the ascended one. He's above all. The valley becomes so obsessing and so dangerous for us that we forget to see the bright future. And I had so much more to put in here, but it's another sermon. And then what happens is disharmony sets in. And then discontentment sets in. And then disillusionment sets in. And then discomfort sets in. And then dissatisfaction sets in. And then I'm okay, God's a failure. No. Learn to look up, because in Acts 1:8 he says, wait in Jerusalem, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer parts of the world. And that's why we make such a big deal about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's where our power and our dunamis and our courage and emboldenment comes from. Lift up your eyes. Have a high view of God, of His goodness, His faithfulness, and His guardianship over us, over you, over me. Secondly, my help, he answers it, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where does your help come from? Where are you looking for help? Our help source has to be the right source. I'm still astounded at how many people need help, forgive me for this, and go to the world to look for it. Those who are spiritual, speaking to those who are unspiritual, do not understand the things of the Spirit, and you're asking advice. Well, my friend, I've known him for 10 or 15 years, and she's a heathen, but hey, man, I'm just going to ask him, what should I do in my marriage? Are you kidding me? I know, I walked this road before. I've done this, so that's how I can preach it freely. Not that I have every answer. I don't see myself above and anyway. We have to have the right source in any aspect. A help source too. What an affirmation and understanding of who my help is. He is none other than the sovereign designer and architect of the universe. He is more, as I said before, he is more than equal to the task. Yeah, now I tried three things. They all didn't work. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray now. No, we should have prayed first. Sought Him first. I think I might have told this at the men's break. I'm not sure. But if I've told the story before, you can remind me, as some of you do. A friend of mine in South Africa used to pray with the guys 6 o'clock in the mornings. Yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning. Every Tuesday morning, I'd get together and pray with the guys. And every morning I'd go, deliberately, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And after about 6 months, one guy, as I got there, he says, Mark, you will not believe what I read this morning, or yesterday. You will not believe. I said, what? He says, it's in the Bible. I said, what? He said, it's at Matthew 6:33. It says, and then he quotes it to me. I could have got like really like, wow. I went, well done, bud. Why? Because it became a revelation to him. It was my revelation I'm trying to impart and doing my best. But man, every morning for 6 months, whoosh, over his head. And then all of a sudden, one day, in neon writing, in the Bible, he saw it. I go, praise God. Well done, bud. Just carry on like that. And I pray that even as I preach, some revelation would come to you about something. Well, trust me, hopefully about the sermon, but anyway. This is an apologetic statement of God's sovereignty over every realm. Only God is in heaven. The rest are man-made ideas. Thank you. Number 3 and 4, I think. Yeah. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps or guards you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. As you move along in this journey, there are areas that you might become unsure of. Well, I've handled the little rocks, but this is the big one now. I'm not sure what to do with this big rock. Step over it. Or walk around it. Kick it out the way if you can. As you move along, it says, He will not let your foot be moved. He will not allow you to slip in treacherous ground. where things get all messed up and get uneven and get out of sorts. He will not let your foot slip. He will hold on to you. He will keep your path straight. He will make it open for you. He who shamars and guards you will not let your foot be moved. I guess it's just me. I'm boiling up here. I brought my little friend to help me today. Says, I will not let you. He is faithful to reveal himself to us. Lift up your eyes and look at me, God is saying. Lift up your eyes to the hills. Remember in Acts 3 verse 6, Peter and John sitting at the gate. And as they come past, as they're going, the beggar sitting at the gate, and as they come past, he calls out to them. And what did they say? Silver and gold have I none. But what we have, we give to you in the name of Christ. Rise up and walk. Man, was that guy unexpecting that? He was like shocked, stunned, and amazed all in one. Can you imagine those emotions? Shocked, stunned, and amazed. But what they said, look at us. What we can, not because we're great, but look at Christ in us. He will raise you up and you can go. And when we take our focus here, we need to look up. Where are you, God? Oh, my ascended God, you're in heaven. I'm not far from you. God's not from a distance. I will not let your foot be moved. Psalm 40 verse 2, King James Version. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In South Africa many years ago when we were still there, we had the privilege of mentoring and planting an African church because they wanted to hear the gospel in their own language, in the Zulu language. And so we had the privilege of planting the church, and I mentored the pastor there, and we raised him up and we set him in. Kira and I went down together and we set him in as the pastor of the church. And you should have heard those kids sing, "He lifted me up from the deep miry clay, planted my feet on the King's highway." This is the reason I sing and I shout, because Jesus came down and lifted me up. This was in the poorest of the poorest places. And you know the funny thing is, when we planted and established that church, there was a lot of robbery and break-ins and everything. And all the people took their meager shacks, pulled them down, and translated them next to the church and built them around the church. So we came down and saw, why all these shacks around the church? And he says, it's because the people know that this is where Jesus lives, this is where God lives, and the people, the tzotzis, the thieves, won't come and break into their houses. He came down and lifted them up. What an amazing testimony. He's watching over us, not infrequently, but a constant watching and guarding. It's not like God gets to pull out of the whole thing. And he says, he never slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't doze off. He doesn't go into deep REM. He doesn't pass out over us like some of us do. He not only watches over the nations as a whole, over Israel, but he watches over us individually. God has got your number, from the youngest to the oldest. He keeps us as a rich treasure for himself. He's a captain who keeps the city. He is the guard over the garrison. He is the royal guard who keeps the monarch's head. He is the guardian who keeps us body, soul, and spirit. That's our God, our guardian. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Why right hand? Why not left hand? I'm so glad you asked. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He is our shade, our protector. Remember when the Israelites came out of the desert? What did they have? A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He is your shade on your right hand. The right hand is the hand of fellowship. Do you know that's why we shake with our right hands? Little bit of old English history. So because you can't draw your sword then, so that you're actually showing I'm a friend, I'm not foe. Because otherwise, shake with the left hand, you can still... All right. Unless you're like me and you're left-handed. Then you're in trouble. The sun and moon. You know that the sun is 93 million miles from us, and if it was only a kilometer closer to us, we'd all be dead. And if it was a kilometer further away, we'd all be dead. One would overfry, the other one would die of cold and exposure. That means a whole lot to us in Canada. Yeah. So we know that God put this orbit in the right place where it was needed to help us. Shame for Kevin and Trish, who've got a little closer to it over this last week. As His creation, He treasures and watches over us ever so watchfully. Job 34:2, He watches the ways of man. He knows it all. He knows exactly what you're thinking about my sermon right now. Come on, you can laugh, it's okay. As His bride, He watches over us tenderly. This is my bride. One day I'm coming back for you. High view of God. As His children, we are the pupil or the apple of His eye that He cherishes us. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep over your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I don't know how to say it any more plainly. He is our guardian and He is Shammah over us. He is watching over us. And just to end it off, He is our defender and protector. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He is guarding and keeping watch over. He is ever active. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is active. Right now, leaning over the parapets of heaven, watching you, playing Facebook. I'm joking. Well, if you are, then anyway, God's watching. No, anyway. Psalm 125:2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. Isn't that encouraging? John 17:11. It says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, Father, Jesus speaking, and I'm coming to you, Father. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Wow. Don't worry, Ellen, your name will protect your family. No. Mark, your name will protect your family. No. God's name will protect us. Why? Remember when He swore the oath with Jesus? He had no other greater name to swear. There was no other name higher than His to swear by. So He swore by His own name. I'll keep this promise by my name. And here we say, protect him by your name. He shows the goodness and the faithfulness in His name. The name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. As we are one, as in unity with the Father. You know, in those times, the name actually meant something. Paul's prayer in the Ephesians 3:14 says, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I got God's name. You got God's name? In times of stress, in times of requirement, when Bridget needed deliverance, she just cried out, Jesus! And the demon left. She saw it. God opened her spiritual eyes. She saw the demon sitting on her. And she called her His name, by the power of His name. The demon left. It wasn't like, so who do you think you're calling? Oh, no, Jesus, I know. I'm out of here. Remember the song? My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. Ephesians 2:4. But because of His great love. No, sorry. 1 Peter 1:5. I'm rushing ahead of myself. Who through faith are shielded, guarded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There's an eternal salvation waiting for us. Now we have salvation here and we look to eternity, but there's an eternal salvation once we cross over and we go home, we will be in salvation eternally. That's good news. The second thing is He will watch over your life. God loves and cares for us. He cares for you. As a father tenderly watches over his children, as he watches over us, he wants the very best for you. He don't give you no second best. He don't give you second hand stuff. He doesn't want to give you broken down stuff. He wants to give you the very best. But in our Christian life, unfortunately, we go for second best so easily. If I can't have the best of God, then I'll just take whatever He's passing out. That's a lie from the devil. That's like saying my father, who's a good father, who gives me good gifts all the time, who blesses me, has favor for me, gives me second best. That's strange thinking. Are we okay this morning? We're very quiet. Yeah, okay. One or two. Where am I? Ephesians 2:4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Wow! Even when Christ was going to the cross, God had you 2,000 years later in mind. When you were born in your sin, I'm sorry, moms, your kids are born into sin. And dads too. Your kids are born into sin. They need a Savior. They need salvation. I know they are the cutest thing on earth. I know that. I was the cutest thing on earth. Trust me. Not. I was one of those kids. I was a why mommy. Anyway, why is this like that? Why is the sky blue? Why is that? Why? Yeah, I know some of you got kids like that. It's okay. It's because they're intelligent. Let's just move on. Yeah, that got a laugh out of you. Yeah. Romans 9:5. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. God, and I know this is not us manipulating God, but because He knows us intricately, He will be who He needs to be to you when you need that thing. Is that too long a sentence? He will be to you what you need Him to be when you need that thing. And the point I'm making right now is if you are sick, we do not need a prophetic word. And when you've had a prophetic word, you just don't need to be prayed for healing and every other gift that comes along. When you're sick, you need Jesus to heal you. The Lord saith unto you, if thou goest down to the doctor, thou shalt see the doctor, and in the 45 minutes waiting time, thou shalt be healed, and thou shalt then get a script and medicines, and thou shalt then be healed. Thank you. I could have just figured that one out in my head. By natural attrition. Okay, let's go to the last one. The Lord watches over your coming and your going. God keeps us and provides for us. 2 Timothy 1:12. That is why I am suffering as I am. Oh, now okay. Good for you, Paul. We don't want that one. We want, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. God is watching. God is over us. Paul here is entrusting his destiny. He's entrusting everything. He entrusts to God, His salvation, His temporal existence, His life's coming and going until that great day, to the one who called Him. And He said, I know, I've believed it, I'm going forth, I'm marching forward. I have faith for this, because He is my guardian. He shamas me, He's watching over me. Jude verse 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. We prayed that in the prayer meeting this morning. Let us come into His presence this morning with great joy. That's why we come. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. So be it. And I just want to say to us this morning, let us commit ourselves to this. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is our guardian. He watches over you. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work, say it, He who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We have an advocate before the Father that Jesus is praying and interceding for us right now. You say, Mark, get over it now. They want to go home. And I'm going, but Lord, let them just tarry one more moment with me. He shemahs us. He watches over us. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over us in our togetherness right now. He watches over us as individuals. He watches us to keep us from harm. He watches over my very life. He watches over my coming and going forever and ever and ever. Amen. So be it. Why? Because He's our guardian. Because He loves us and He cares us. And I'm not shouting. I'm excited. Because what a good God. I've listened to you watch basketball and softball and kick soccer, and I was challenged by someone. I'm not allowed to mention a name. When we were playing kickball, she said, Dad, do you think this... Oh, now I gave it away. Do you think this is like the Olympics? It's because I'm not competitive at all. But anyway, we get to stand and say, God, you are so good. I want to have a high view of you when I'm walking through this valley. My song of ascent to you is, Lord, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. Oh, can you imagine? Where does my help come from? The one who constructed the Eden Center. Yeah, I'm happy for you. The one who created this clever thing. The one who created this even cleverer thing. The one who created this amazing tool I have. No. The one who created... Can you get this? Heaven and earth. He's the one who's watching over me. He's the one who cares for you. He's the one who's saying, I will shamar you. I will encircle you with a hedge of thorns and protect you. Constantly, daily, when you're asleep, when you're awake, when you're thinking about me, when you're not thinking about me, when you're dialed out in church, when you're not dialed out in church, when you're praising me and going ballistic for my name, or when you're not doing that. It's just so much sweeter when we are. Anyway, I could rant on for a while, but oh. Let's just stand together, please, if you would. Not as a religious thing, but just because we love our Father. And just say, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God. We love you, God. You're a good Father, Lord. You're an amazing Father, Lord, and we thank you that you are our guardian. And God, we just come to you, and Lord, just as the psalmist wrote, we say, we lift up our eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Thank you, Lord God, that you are guarding us. You're watching over us. You're keeping us. You're not slumbering or sleeping. You're not allowing the sun or the moon. You're providing us for us, Lord God, for our protection. Lord, you're watching over us. You're keeping us from evil. You're a good God. We ask you this in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Bless you.